It's showtime.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
And now it's time for another episode of the many reactions of Psycho Mike. Megan Fox.
Oh.
Christian Bale. Pete Wentz.
Oh.
Slayer.
Oh.
Kirsten Dunst. The Dallas Cowboys.
Wah, 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 wah. Please die, Psycho Mike. I really, really hate you.
Do you think it's going well?
No.
Well, hello. Something that has always pissed me off, and not because I'm a gay person, but because I'm a smart person. Because this doesn't make sense when people say it. When people say, "That's so gay," it sends off a red flag in my mind. And it really makes me feel bad for this generation.
And now,
"That's so gay,"
our feature presentation.
I've decided to start taking my advice from Chris Crocker. The
yes,
YouTube
you should.
Sensation with the Britney Spears songs and advice, yes.
Look, he's a marketing genius, number one.
And he has feelings.
He does have feelings. He's very, very sensitive.
Yes.
Good morning, party people. It is now 5:32. Lisa, what is the date today? I'm not sure quite exactly what it is.
Mike's giving me hand signals.
What are the hand signals?
The date. Why, Bean, okay. Thanks for asking. Today is the 25th of March.
This must be what the kids call a booty call.
I haven't been out of the house since 2004, and even I know the kids don't call it that anymore.
We're going to take your calls coming up for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, the Wednesday morning edition at 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now, get on the air, get a prize. I think we're still giving away Snuggies, by the way, if you've got something interesting to donate to the program this morning. I saw this in an article yesterday about a new survey that they took on the Oxygen cable network, which I guess is one of those networks for chicks.
Yep.
They surveyed more than 2,000 women ages 18 to 34. What percentage of women would rather win America's Next Top Model than a Nobel Peace Prize?
90%.
Well, I'm happy to say that it was only 25%.
Really?
Only 25%.
That
yeah.
surprises me.
What percentage of women surveyed said they'd be willing to shave their heads to save the life of a stranger?
Oh. 10%?
Really?
What does it mean?
What do you think, Michael?
I don't understand women. I would have thought 95% of women would shave their head to save
really?
A life. To save a life?
Of someone they don't know?
It's a human being, though.
What's the answer?
75% said they'd be willing to shave yeah. their heads to save the life
no
of a stranger.
No kidding.
Jesus, Lisa.
Because women are so attached to their hair.
Sure, yeah. But we're talking life here, right?
I know, but it's different if it's someone you know. If you just, it if it's someone
is.
They never know, never see.
That's like 100% of men, though, right? I mean, if you're a man and you won't shave your head for saving a life, you should be put down.
I'm going to tell you that those women were lying.
It's
certainly
possible.
Higher than what I said, but if push came to shove, no way is that number right.
There was a very popular series of books for a while, a few years back, remember, that asked all those tough questions. And they said things like, would you let someone you know die to save 10,000 lives of people you don't know? And I mean, they asked a bunch of questions like that where you really have to, I mean,
I don't know
tough
how
choices.
You even answer those.
Yeah,
really.
It's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Again, your phone call is coming up next, 1-800-520-1067 for What to Do Nephew. Got a couple lines open. Good time to get in, get on the air. All right, here's my favorite. Again, we're talking about 2,000 women ages 18 to 34.
Okay.
How many women would make their own best friend fat for life if it meant they could be thin?
90.
Well, I don't seem to have my finger on the pulse of women, but I'm going to say like 15%.
Honestly, you want me to answer? I honestly believe 45% of women would do it.
Really?
Yeah.
So they'd inflict fat for life on their best friend so that they could be thin.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, they don't give the exact number, but it says it's more than a quarter. So I assume in this article it says more than a quarter. So who knows? Maybe it's 27, maybe it's 30. 20. I don't know. But,
wow, that's a little high too.
By the way, how pissed would your friend be if she found out that you made her fat for life so you could be fed?
That's just evil. That's worse than not shaving your head.
And one more. How many said that they would marry an ugly man if he were a multimillionaire?
Oh.
All.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them do, that's for sure.
Well, because they justify it with, he's a good guy.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Which, is he still true, a good guy if he's really not a millionaire? Helpful. Right.
Right. Yeah, like 40%.
Well, it says 50.
50%. 50%.
Yeah. It's funny, by the way. Again, these, you know, it's impossible to tell how many are lying. It's impossible to tell if they were really – I mean, that's one that they might actually one day be in that situation.
Right.
Let's see if they'd be willing to walk down the aisle with the ugly guy, even if he's rich. You know
right.
what I mean? When it finally gets down to it.
Right.
I think some would, some would not be able to.
That's really where men and women differ too, because it would be like 3% of guys. You rarely see guys, no matter how rich she is. I mean, there's a small segment of men that are, you know, that don't mind having a sugar mama. But usually guys are just so shallow, they're completely based on looks. It has nothing to do with
right.
whether she's rich or poor, or she's a senator, or she's a janitor. It doesn't matter. Guys, really, yeah. if she's hot, that's all that matters.
That's because guys don't look to women for security, generally speaking.
No, for boners. That's it.
Yeah.
Really.
That's it.
I would love a sugar mama. Are you kidding me? I don't care. Just hook me up.
Well, you have to kind of be good looking to get one.
Oh,
oh, Lisa.
In other words, I don't have anything to offer the sugar mama.
Yeah, usually it's like the really hot women that get those sugar daddies. So.
And I'm not I wouldn't exactly be getting it done for her, so
exactly.
what's the point there, right? All right, let's move on with your phone calls. Kevin Beans, What to Do Nephew on the air right now, 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What to do, nephew?
You may not realize this, but the Snuggie is not only attractive, but it's made with super soft, thick, luxurious fleece with roomy, oversized sleeves that let you do what you want while still being totally wrapped in warmth. And that's what you get this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show, is you get the Snuggie. Let's start with Chad in HB on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Chad, what's going on, man? What'd it do?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I read yesterday that the New York State Attorney General convinced 9 out of the 10 AIG executives to give back their bailout money or their bonus money.
I did hear that, yeah.
How about that?
I mean, I'm just wondering what's
they
up
didn't
with that
have to,
guy.
That's for sure. What's that?
I'm just wondering what's up with that last guy, why he won't get back.
Well, I mean, he can. I don't know anything about him, but his answer could be, I had a contract and I earned that money and I'm entitled to it.
Yeah, true, but I mean, it's not coming from AIG. It's coming from the U.S. citizen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they gave it up, it was voluntary, you know? So,
I don't know, it definitely was voluntary.
You don't have to. But it's so funny. I mean, you know, there's been so much talk about this over the last couple of weeks. It's easily been the biggest story in the world. But, I mean, people keep pointing out that why focus on the bonus money that's 0.1% of how much money was given to AIG that's also taxpayer dollars that may or may not help, that may or may not get the job done. Do you know what I mean? I mean, people are really focusing on this because, you know, because there's the angle of – hey, it's our money going to bonuses. But, you know, a lot of these people that got these bonuses, as I understand, and Lisa, you may be more familiar with the story than I am, but they were people who were brought in to save AIG. You know, they were hired to clean up the mess that they were in.
One of those executives actually wrote a letter, I think it's in the New York Times this morning, saying exactly what you're saying, Bean, which is that he took a $1 fee for his work. His job is trying to dismantle the mess. And he feels like it's not fair that he's not getting paid when he had nothing to do with what happened. And in fact,
right.
was brought in to try to fix it.
Right. In
so
fact,
that, he does make a point.
And Chad, maybe you saw this too. The guy that is the head of AIG, the guy who was just lambasted in front of Congress last week. I mean, the stuff that they were saying to him. He was hired after all of this happened. He's taking a $1 salary. He's only been on the job a few months.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
It's a mess. There's no question. It's a mess. And President was pretty testy about it during the press conference last night, too.
Well, when the bailout money was handed out by Bush, there was no stipulations. It was just like, here's some money. Do with it what you want.
Right.
So by focusing on the bailout money, yeah, it's in their contract, but at least it transfers the blame to someone else, and maybe they have the option to give it back versus AIG. You know, you can't require them to give it back just as you can't require
right.
the executives. But
well, I think we're learning as we go. I think you do something, and you realize, oh, I screwed that up. Now let me try to do it differently next way. All right, thanks for the call. Let's move on to Daryl in Lake Elsinore on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Daryl, what'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
Good morning. Hey, you know, a while back, Ralph Garman did a story on there's going to be a biopic on Wendy O. Williams, who is supposed
right.
to be depicted by Hayden Panettiere, and I'm just wondering if there's been any update. That movie was supposed to be released in 2009. And I'm less concerned about the AIG bonus money and more concerned about if I can see Hayden Panettiere just like Wendell Williams.
You know what? I have not heard anything about that movie, and I certainly haven't seen any pictures on all the gossip sites of Hayden Panettiere, you know, in costume or filming that movie. For folks who don't recognize the name, by the way, she was a bizarre, eccentric rock singer for a band called The Plasmatics, and she used to do crazy stuff on stage, and she's one of her costumes that was probably her most memorable, and probably the one you can't wait to see Hayden in, was the one that had, like, clear plastic over her boobies.
Oh,
that was the costume.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Or the conical... pasties with the tassels on the end. But, you know,
yes.
For a real street, listeners can go to YouTube and watch Wendell Williams perform The Damned on that vintage video, which is, again, really just priceless because of its era and the way it dates itself. But it's really great. And
yeah. I don't know that Hayden has the boobs to pull off Wendy Williams, but I'd like to see it as well. So we'll ask Ralph.
He doesn't have the pipe.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. We'll ask Ralph when he comes in, but I have not heard an update on that. It's funny that you've been thinking about that ever since you heard that story. All right, thanks for the call. Let's go down to Rancho Cucamonga. We got Louie on the line, on line 3. Hey, Lou, welcome to the show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do,
baby boo?
Good morning.
Hey, I just want to talk about Manny Ramirez, his first home run yesterday.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's been, stressing out about him not playing, not having enough of at-bats, but he doesn't need that many at-bats to play good in the season.
Yeah, it's spring training this year because spring training is so long. Now, is it longer this year, Mike, because of the World Baseball Classic? Is that why?
Sure seems like. It seems like pitchers and catchers showed up like a year ago.
Yeah, it does. Like they're going to be exhausted by the time the season starts.
Yeah.
But it does seem like a lot of the older guys, the Manny Ramirez's of the world and the Ichiro Suzuki's of the world, are not really being required to do very much. Like they may stop by spring training on the way to the season. But yeah, it's good to see. I mean, we're getting pretty close here. You know, the season starts in a couple of weeks. So
Manny will start playing left field today. He's been only DHing up to this point, but supposedly his hamstring's healthy enough now that he will start playing in the field. So
it's good news.
Yeah.
And one more, Chewy, our old friend Chewy in Long Beach on line 4. Hey, Chew, what's going on, man? What'd it do?
Good morning. What'd it be, homie? Hey, I don't care if I hate it, Pat Jerry, because I'm never going to hook up with her, and I'm never going to get any bonuses from where I work. And I got a real question. I heard a rumor. I want to know if you guys can verify it. Somebody told me that they've raised the zero-tolerance laws for marijuana in Nevada and Arizona. Does anybody know if that's true?
I don't. I mean, I know that it has been talked about in a bunch of states, but I don't know if they've actually pushed that one through or not. Maybe I should call my dad and see if he's smoking out.
You know
what?
That'd be awesome. That'd be cool. If he does, give me his phone number. We'll hook up.
So would the plan be that on Friday after work you'd get in your car and drive directly to Nevada and just cross the border, you know, and just sit in your car and just smoke out?
Yeah.
Good plan. Hey, we'll find out. I mean, it does seem like we're getting to the point where they realize this war on drugs is so expensive and so ineffective, and you can't afford to keep building jails to put people in for pot.
Yeah.
It does seem like it's almost not – it's not because of the morality of the drug anymore. Now it's just the economics of trying to fight the drug that more and more states are looking at. Hey, we've got to just back off from this. This is just crazy what it's doing.
You thought a lot of Californians were fleeing to Nevada now. Wait till – if this is true, it's going to be like mass exodus.
Exactly. All right, Chew, we'll look into that for you. That's an outstanding point. Thank you very much.
Did you say Chew?
He did. He does it every time.
Really? Couldn't just add the E?
You don't think people call him Chew? I bet they do.
No, I doubt it.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. We got a bunch of stuff going on, including your tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, which is 1 week from Friday at the Gibson Amphitheater, an all-star night of comedy. We got tickets that you can win for that. Also, got a lot of response yesterday afternoon for the guy we talked to with Scriptapalooza, people out there who have been sitting on a screenplay. It's their life's work. They can't figure out how to get it to somebody in Hollywood who can actually get it made, at least buy it, at least read it, just somebody to read my work. We'll tell you all about how you can do that if you are an up-and-coming scriptwriter just after 6 o'clock this morning. We did a little investigating around the K-Rock HD channels. Who knew that Jed the Fish was on the K-Rock HD channel playing the 80s music?
I had no idea.
He knew that he was even crazier than he is when he's on K-Rock FM. What's up with that? You're not going to believe some of the stuff that Jed is doing on the program.
That's
true. He's been bye-bye for a long time, right?
He is high-definition nuts. It is unbelievable when you listen to some of this audio.
Also, we have a listener who has some concerns, and it's appropriate as we get into the baseball season. What are the rules for being a bandwagon fan? For instance, could you decide this year you're going to be a Dodgers fan, or would other Dodger fans say, no, you're not welcome? Apparently there are some rules, and we'll discuss that. And, of course, we've got more tickets for you to go see The Offspring 2 before the tickets go on sale this weekend. You can see them June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And if you win those tickets, you're qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to see the band anywhere around the world. Your chance to win coming up very, very soon. Ralph has the Showbiz Beat right after this on K-Rock. Papa Roach on K-Rock. Hey! If you're a fan, you know that their new album just came out yesterday and is available. And I love that first song that we've been playing here on K-Rock. Haven't heard the rest, but I look forward to it. It's 5:51. Ralph joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. What the hell is going on?
Hello, Governor. Do you mind if I drive my lorry down your road here in London?
Chip,
cheerio.
Always making fun of Mike's hat. I like Mike's hat.
Mike's got a goofy cap
so
on.
So do most fashionable people and females.
Jim Jiminy. Good luck will rub off if you shake hands with me.
I thought Mike was auditioning for the new movie remake of Newsies is what I thought was happening today.
Yes, you two fashion icons should make fun of Mike.
I thought he wanted to play the chimney sweep in the new Mary Poppins musical. Dick Van Dyke roll.
It's a vintage piece.
It sure is. My wife went out to dinner with Psycho Mike last week and won't stop talking about how hot he is, by the way. You can't know how deflating that is, Ralph, to hear every day.
Dinner's what she told you?
Well, that's what she said. Yeah. She didn't specifically call it a booty call, but
hey, whatever
said
you need
dinner.
To believe, B. Whatever gets
she
you
had a big order of airtight.
Oh, sweet heavens.
I know she was awfully tired when she got home. I do know that.
I bet she was. Ah, oh, never mind. Too early to say that joke. Dancing with the Stars update. Here's
Lisa.
This is the greatest. This is the greatest because Steve Wozniak is horrible. This is the guy who founded Apple Computers, right? One of the guys.
Big fat dude too.
Big
right?
fat computer geek.
Right.
Horrible. He's like falling all over the place and doing the worm and stuff. It was hideous. It was a hideous dance. Then you got Steve-O, who's got like a broken spine and his ankles don't work and he fell and he's hurting himself. Horrible. Still on the show, Denise Richards booted.
Yay!
That's how much America hates her.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
They hate her so much. That they couldn't.
If you're Steve Wozniak and you're doing the worm, you're basically giving the middle finger to Dancing with the Stars and saying, I'm not going to do any of your fancy good dances. Go ahead and kick me off.
Right.
And he's still there.
No, America still said, no, we'd rather get rid of Denise Richards because we hate her so much. So last night, Denise got the boot. She was tied with Holly Madison, smoking hot playmate.
Ooh.
Former girlfriend of Hugh Hefner down at the bottom. So America's bad. But still. The Woz and Steve-O continue on.
I just sit in my house just piling all the narcotics into my body that I possibly can. Namely ketamine, nitrous oxide, PCP, cocaine, you know. And I just get all kinds of results.
Not anymore.
Nope.
He's such an articulate, sort of clear-eyed fellow now when you see him interviewed on that Dance with the
crazy.
Stars. It's weird.
I'm so happy that Denise Richards probably cried last night.
Yeah. Because she's been bitching and moaning all season long about how, oh, this isn't supposed to be a show about how good people can dance because there's too many people here who have actual dancing skills. What about us who don't know how to dance and we're competing and that's what's more important? And now she's gone. So shut up. That's what I say. How do you feel about Lisa? How do you feel about this whole Dance with the Stars thing is going on?
Oh, really? You don't have anything to say about it at all, Lisa?
I've got nothing to say about it.
Interesting. Huh. It's almost like she's been paid to not talk about it.
It's weird.
Lindsay Lohan!
Yeah.
In the news?
Yes.
Complaining to E that she can't land any great roles because people just won't leave her alone.
Oh, that's really?
That's the problem. It's the paparazzi and the press that is ruining her career.
Because the mail doesn't get to her house with scripts now?
Lindsay claims that despite her days of getting DUI arrests being far behind her, she just can't live out her dreams, which are right now. She wants to do charity work, star in Oscar-nominated films, write movies, become a producer, design clothing, make music, and write books. That's her dream life.
Doesn't seem to be doing any of those things. She seems to just be going to parties and drinking and then wrecking her car.
Yeah, that may be part of the problem, too. She didn't mention that, though. Just try staying home one night. Right. Just start with one.
Baby steps.
Start with one night where you don't go out and watch your DJ girlfriend spin drinks and guzzle Grey Goose and cranberry, you whore.
And here's another thing. Maybe somebody might think of you as a potential hire if they didn't read every week in the paper that the police have been called to your house to break up a screaming match.
Yeah. Maybe people take you seriously if you go do, I don't know, a play. Or, I don't know, write something. Try doing something. Lindsay says, by the way, just for the record, rumors of her falling off the wagon are completely false. She does not drink, do drugs, or lie, apparently. Yeah, right. So there's your Lindsay Lohan update. Do we have time to hassle the hop? I think we do. Give me a little hassle the hop jingle over there. Won't you, Governor?
It's time to hassle the hop.
Hoff.
Sorry, ladies. Apparently, the Hoff is off the market.
Oh. What?
David is talking to a British tabloid, the London Sun, said he's spending lots of time with his brand new girlfriend. He says he's head over heels for the new girlfriend, who is a hypnotherapist. And he says he's been working with her to resolve his childhood issues.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
As well as some of his addiction issues.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
I kid you not, this is a quote. David says she's been hypnotizing him while he's been hoffitizing her.
Oh. He did not.
Yes.
If you were a woman, wouldn't you have to walk out the door right then? That's it.
Wouldn't
you're
that
dead.
Be the first thing you'd hypnotize him into stop doing?
Yes.
Is right. Using hoff as a verb at every possible opportunity.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
She's been hypnotizing me. I've been hoffitizing her.
Wow. He's the best.
No,
awesome.
It doesn't even mean anything, Dave. It doesn't even come close to meaning something. Today's celebrity birthday is singer Aretha Franklin, the godmother of soul. No, who is she? What is she?
She's the queen of soul.
Queen of soul. She is 67 years old today.
Good-looking woman right there.
Oh, that's a lot of woman to love. Isn't it?
Yes, it
another
is.
Queen, the queen of rock and roll, Elton John, is 62 years old. Oh, yeah, my bad. He's not gay. Sorry. I apologize.
Okay.
He's 62 years old today. Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives is 47 years old today. Lee Pace, very talented actor, star of the now sadly defunct series Pushing Daisies, is 30 years old. Sean Farris from Never Back Down. He's 27 years old today. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh.
Is this many years old.
Oh, Ralph.
What's that in human years? Do we know?
It's 44.
Okay.
And to show you there's nothing whatsoever to astrology that could be born on the same day, Sarah Jessica Parker, and at the same time, on the same day, not the same time, many years later, Catherine McPhee celebrates her birthday today.
Wow.
Our favorite American idol ever.
You still have the McPhee-ver, Ralph?
Oh, kidding me? The office is still just plastered with McPhee posters and photographs.
What'd you use to plaster those up?
Really, Mike?
Tape.
Tape?
Okay. Yeah.
Just curious.
She's 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time to talk about our old friend, Jed the Fish.
Cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. Well, it's the atomic weight of mercury.
Jed, how long you been running the holes here at the world famous K-Rock? You've been here a long time, right?
I would have to assume if I really analyze my consciousness deep enough, it's 3 years I've been working here.
I think it's been closer to 30, actually. I thought you might know that. But
rinky dinky little pinky, poo poo makes stinky.
This is what it's like having a conversation with Joe every time. Although the drugs have clearly fried your brain, you are still working here at K-Rock, and we do still hear you on the FM from time to time. And I understand that now you are the superstar of the K-Rock HD channel.
HD. Uh-huh.
HD. Right.
That's what I said. HD, the right. High definition channel. That is the, you know, the side channel. This HD radio is pretty cool, by the way, because it's free. It's not a subscription. You don't pay for it or anything like that. And we have an HD channel that is all 80s music. And you're what you and Freddie.
The core of the sun is approximately 24.5 million degrees Fahrenheit, which is 13.6 Kelvin. I've always found Kelvin to be the most rational of ways to measure temperature.
Okay. Kelvin is not here today, though, because he's on vacation. But my Too point bad. Was, you're on the HD channel, and I understand yes. we have some tape of some of the work that you've done, stuff that is actually aired on the channel that people with that radio can listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear some of that.
It's not easy to scream inside of a bottle.
Okay.
Really?
What's going on there? What's happening?
I was
Jeff?
Talking over a song, and I wanted it to sound interesting.
But what? Why
did you like that?
Into a bottle,
here's another.
Though?
Did you hear the fart just then?
We don't really need to know that.
Hi, this is Jed the Fish from Rock the 80s Streaming.
Okay, that's a great I'm glad you played that clip, Jed, because we have often wondered what this magical language is that you and your listeners have that you speak to each other that the rest of us don't understand.
Well, Mark Allman from Soft Cell and I used to have glue in a storage unit off Franklin. And I remember it was hip in those days with the hip-hop crowd to carry a boombox on your shoulder. And he said, go get me a Denver omelet, Jedster. And I did. But as I was walking down Hollywood Boulevard, I realized that it was not a boombox at all, but a microwave with a turkey in it.
I don't know how that answers the question, though. I don't know what you're talking about, Jedham.
The last four presidents were left-handed.
Okay. Do you have another tape from the Rock of the 80s channel?
Hit it, Steve.
And I think that's pretty suck-ass job. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. What are we going to do? I don't know how I'm going to do.
What's
that?
Happening?
I don't understand.
Gandhi was a Scorpio.
Well, that does clear it up for me. Thank you, Jed. Congratulations to Patsy Pineda from Anaheim, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, which generally is not a good choice. But today it paid off for her because she won tickets to go see The Offspring this summer, June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale this Saturday morning at 10. And Patsy could be getting a call from us on Friday morning so she can see Offspring anywhere that they're playing around the world on their international tour. So it's destination number 7 of the K-Rock World Tour 2009. Sports bandwagon rules coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in just a few minutes. You guys know who country singer Martina McBride is? Have you heard the name?
Yes, absolutely.
She's actually, I know there's a lot of country music that people who listen to this station do not like. She's actually one of the good ones. She's got a lot of good songs. She's sold 16 million albums. Mm-hmm. She's had 9 albums that have been gold or better. And she's in a little bit of hot water with some of her more conservative country fans right now because she did an interview with Out Magazine, which, as you can imagine from the title, has a little bit of a gay theme to it.
Right.
And she basically said, hey, I wish that the – she basically came out and said, I wish that this industry, country music industry, and so many of its fans weren't so homophobic. I'd like to see there be a gay superstar. Mm-hmm. She says she teaches her kids tolerance, and she's taken a lot of heat for that. I mean, the message boards are going crazy with people who are, you know, basically they're boycotting her records because of the interview that she gave. And, of course, the very first post – on the website, on the country music websites, is God made Adam and Steve. Not Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That one will never die, will it?
No.
It's so clever.
Yeah.
Is the
thing. Almighty God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, writes a poster named Matthew. So basically she's coming out and saying, you know, there's room for everybody in country music and around the country. And that's why there's a great deal of controversy. And, of course, she's doing publicity now because she had a new album that came out yesterday. And one of the organizations that is up in arms about this is Billy Dean. I guess we've got Billy Dean Ray Bobson on the phone, which seems like an unlikely name. But Billy Dan joins us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kira. Good morning, Billy.
Oh, well, I suppose Bean is a likely name.
Well, good point.
If I lived in a city, then I guess I would be more accepted by your kind.
No. I don't have anything against you. It just seems like you have a lot of names going on. The Billy, the Dan, the Ray, the Bob, the Sud. It just is a lot of names.
Hey, Boston's the last name. It all goes together. They're not separate or nothing.
Okay. Well, I apologize, sir.
Billy, Dan, Ray Bobson.
Okay.
All right.
I apologize for screwing up. Hey, where are you right now, Billy?
I'm on the farm.
Okay. Sounds like you're in the barn.
All right. Let me step outside the barn for a second. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
That's fine. Thank you
all
very
right.
much. Now, Mr. Ray Bobson, you are speaking on behalf of what organization today?
Country United Negating Tolerance.
What?
And that would be?
C-U-N-T.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Let's just not call it that. Let's just go with Country United Negating Tolerance. Now, you are. So does that mean you are intolerant? If you're negating tolerance, it
That's
sounds
right.
like you.
We want to try to stamp out tolerance in our lifetime, especially in country music.
But, I mean, I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to stamp out tolerance? I thought we were having you on because you were supporting Martina McBride's interview in Out Magazine.
No, sir. We are firmly against that particular point of view that she is espousing.
She is saying that it's important to embrace the strengths, differences, uniqueness, and beauty of others.
Wrong. It's important to point out the differences and mock them and disdain them. And to seek out like-minded and minded people and stick with them exclusively. That is our point of view, sir.
So if people are different, they are bad, is what you're saying.
Absolutely correct. Because keep in mind, the great Lord invented Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Nice.
I have heard
nice.
That, yes.
When
I
it comes to the gays.
Right.
All right, first of all, there's way too much tolerance going on in country music. First, you got her saying all kinds of nonsense about tolerating gays.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Rascal Flatts doing a song saying, love whoever you love, it's okay. It's okay
right,
to
they got
be
that
gay.
New song out. Right.
Wrong. Then you
but,
got
I
Big
mean...
and Rich have a black guy in their band. When does it stop? When do we take a stand?
What's wrong with having a black guy in your band if he's a good musician, a good singer, and enjoys country music?
What? If you don't know what's wrong with it, I don't even think we have nothing to talk about.
But all Martina McBride is saying is that there's no reason to discriminate against gay people. That's all she's saying.
And I'm saying there's every goddamn reason to discriminate against gay people. They are gay!
Right, but that's how they were born, though, isn't it, Billy?
No! No! Because God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Would you stop saying that? It doesn't mean anything.
This music's called country, not penis tree. All right? It's the grand old Opry. It's not the grand old sodomy.
Oh, my God.
Well, nobody is saying that at all. Look, you have to – Billy, you have to know – I'm sorry. What's the name of your organization again?
Country United Negating Tolerance.
Negating Tolerance. Okay,
Listen,
that's the part.
This music made in Memphis, not Memphis.
Oh.
All right? It's Conway Twitty, not Con-gay Twitty.
Okay, that just happens
it's
to be
Dolly
the guy's...
It's Dolly Parton, not Dolly Farton.
Yeah.
That well, doesn't that even mean anything.
That doesn't make any sense
it's
at
Garth
all, Billy.
Brooks, not Garth. To having gay sex.
You know, you have to realize that there are people in the country music industry that are gay. You know, there are people who are working today in your Nashville that are gay.
It's called Nashville. It's not called Flacioville.
Okay.
Billy,
we got that you have sayings. We got that.
Adam and Steve.
You did. You mentioned
them?
That.
Yes.
There have to be millions of people around the world who are gay who also enjoy country music. What's wrong with that?
Oh, well, stop it.
So you don't want them to listen.
Pick one or the other. Be gay or listen to country music. You cannot have both.
Well,
and that is the final word I have to say on that.
He makes some very reasonable points, Billy.
Excuse me, I have to go have sex with an animal.
Oh, no.
Hey!
No, come on.
No.
Not even close.
Not even a little bit.
Not even, doesn't even seem remotely appropriate.
Yeah. Billy Dan, that we were talking to a few minutes ago, wouldn't even like us to play that song because it's called In the End.
Right.
And then you just look at that and you go, that can't be right.
Dangerous territory.
He had some problems. It's Modest Yahoo on the way. Also, Foo Fighters and Blur, the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Ahead of Ralph's showbiz beat, I have to ask, Ralph, because I heard rumors wafting down the hall after in the afternoon show yesterday. What? Do rumors not waft?
I don't believe they do, no.
I think farts do. Were you making The Office watch lesbian amputee porn on your computer or not? Did that happen?
Yes, it did.
That lesbian amputee porn.
Awesome.
That's what was going on yesterday afternoon here at the Cinco de la Tarde show.
There was a young lady who was deficient in the leg department to the tune of one. And she was, where some people might see that as a disadvantage, she was using that as an advantage when it came to pleasing her lesbian partner. That's
she
all
was
you
able
need to know.
To work it. Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
That's what goes on at work here at the World
that
Famous
That is work.
Camp. That's at work. Okay. Yes. 6:48, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for you Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Speaking of porn.
Yes.
Thanks for the lead-in, Bean. Apparently the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Are all good kinds of upset about this new X-rated spoof of their reality show that is being released by Hustler Entertainment. The X-rated spoof is entitled Keeping It Up for the Kardashians.
My wiener's going crazy and it won't stop.
Kardashians.
Yeah.
See?
Gotcha.
Emphasis on the ass.
This is the new series that I guess is pretty popular with Hustler that they're basically parodying every show on television, right?
Yeah.
They started out with the Gilligan's Island.
Yeah,
Brady
I'm not
Bunch
sure if this is the same company that did those. I think that may be another company. But there is a new trend, at least, in adult entertainment where they say, this is not Bewitched, or this is not the Brady Bunch, or this is not the Munsters. And then they do a spoof of that particular show featuring hardcore sex. And this latest one is spoofing the Kardashian reality show over there on E!, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It's called Keeping It Up for the Kardashians. Is anyone getting this?
I can see why Kim isn't pleased with that.
So bleak.
She didn't mind her
it.
Own. She didn't mind her own porno movie when she made that.
Oh, Ray J.
Apparently, Kim is threatening legal action against Hustler Entertainment. Apparently, not just because of the spoof, but apparently the theme song in the porno sounds very similar to the one on their reality show. So that might be their best legal option when it comes to shutting down this production. I don't think it is out yet, the film. I think it's about to hit the market. They're still looking for the right dude to play Chloe. In the show. So, as soon as they cast that role, then they'll be releasing the film.
I was watching Chloe. She certainly is. I was watching Chloe on The Celebrity Apprentice on Sunday night, and it finally occurred to me. It's really been bugging me this whole season who she looks like. I keep seeing Khloe Kardashian when she's sitting there on the screen. Who does she look like? I finally figured it out. And
are you
going to
die?
Hey, Lacerda, you okay?
Think about this when you watch Sunday night. She looks almost exactly like Meatloaf. Seriously, when you look at the hair and the face and the build,
like it
looks like Meatloaf. Check it out. When you watch it this weekend, you'll think of it.
I like
Funny.
It. She's Loaf Kardashian. That's her new nickname. I get a China vibe for her still.
Yes,
oh,
Donald.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd like to be project manager, Donald.
I get a very China of the WWE.
She's thick.
Hit off of her. She is not a small woman. That's all I'm saying.
She's got both legs, though.
She does. Leighton Meester in the news.
Ah!
22-year-old star of Gossip Girl.
Oh.
I like the Gossip Girl.
So creative.
He's good, and he's not... they are not bad.
No, there's no scary
it's
parts.
Good, and they're not bonkers.
No tattoos.
Apparently, Leighton Meester. One more time. Leighton Meester.
There you go.
It's not easy.
No.
Said, unlike other members of Young Hollywood, she has her head screwed on straight. And you will not see her caught up in scandals in the tabloids. You will not see her flashing her vajayjay as she gets out of a limo. She has grown up, she said.
Damn it.
22 years old. She says she's grown up fast.
Yeah.
And she misses some of her youthful indiscretions, but she said it's made her responsible, so it's all worth the while.
Considering how young and how popular that cast is from Gossip Girl, you don't see them in the tabloids or in any kind of scandals. They've kept it pretty clean.
You're right. Yeah. So far?
So far, right.
And her dad was a big drug smuggler.
This is true. What'd they call him, Ralph?
Keister Meester.
What?
That's where he used to keep the drugs in his butt, apparently. That's true, actually. Her dad was a drug smuggler. Did some time. Jennifer Garner is punishing her husband, Ben Affleck.
What'd he do?
Apparently, he leaves the toilet seat up all the time, Lisa.
Yeah.
You know how men are.
I
girls,
do
are you
know
with
how
me?
Men are.
Ladies,
yeah.
Huh? Come on.
How about
with
that?
With the fellas? Oh. So what she's doing now is she is fining him $5 every time he leaves it up. And they put the money towards Violet's college fund.
Wow, he leaves it up a lot.
Yes, to pay for Violet's college.
I suspect they're not going to have any trouble sending their kids to school, by the way. I think they're going to be all right.
Well, Star Magazine says this is how she's teaching Ben a lesson. To which I would say, if I was Ben Affleck, I'd make all the money! And then I'd hit her with a toilet seat.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Recognize?
Are you with me, ladies? I'm guessing not. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow. I got a lot of time.
I've got nothing but time.
I'm not used to having this much time.
You're just rushing through.
You've thrown me for a loop.
Lean and mean show. Lean and mean.
I run a tight clock here, dude.
All right, let's carry on with a couple more stories, shall
we?
Dolly Parton's not gay, Lisa. Thank you.
I don't think I ever said she was.
Well, apparently there's been a long-standing rumor that she and her lifelong best friend Judy Ogle are lovers.
Well, you never see her husband. That's
no,
the thing.
You do not.
You never see her husband.
And apparently, apparently that's the deal, is that they almost live separately, yet they've been married for like 40 years or something.
Dolly's been married to her husband Carl Dean for 43 years.
Nice melons.
In a recent interview, she finally addressed the lesbian rumors and says it just isn't true. She loves her husband. And Judy is just her good, good friend.
Boobs. Well, that's
good
news for Billy Dan.
That she shares latex implements with.
Oh, she didn't say that. She did not
say that. Prosthetic leg.
That's right. Dolly, by the way, said she's very disappointed that her Aunt Dolly character didn't make it into Hannah Montana the movie.
I didn't know that was happening.
I didn't either. But she says she has plans now to do a kids show. She wants to do a children's show on television.
Those boobs would scare children.
Not little ones. It would look like the...
That's going to make the air.
But I'd watch that show. I would watch that all the time.
I would, too. And Tom Hanks is working on a new film called Major Matt Mason. Now, no one remembers this, but back in the 60s, there was a huge sort of... what can I compare it to? Sort of a... what's the most popular toy right now for kids? Like the brats are for girls, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And for guys, what are little boys playing with that they're going nuts for
just
these
themselves.
Days?
Just themselves.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a toy in the 60s called Major Matt Mason. It was an astronaut that you could play with. Had like a little space station and everything. It was a huge toy.
I don't remember that.
Apparently Tom Hanks loved it. Mm-hmm. And so now they're making a major motion picture based on that toy from 1966.
Well, but it's Tom Hanks, so.
And Tom Hanks will be playing Major Matt Mason.
He's great, and he doesn't do crap.
He will play a lead astronaut who leads an elite team that lives on the moon and fights space crime, I guess.
Okay.
So that's what you get to do when you're Tom Hanks.
Yep.
You get to be Major Matt Mason. Can I get to the celebrity birthdays now?
Sure.
It's a light day. I don't have a lot of stories. Usually I got tons of them, but I don't have one today.
Ralph, you don't have an email from a listener?
Had I known I was going to have this much time, I would have brought one with me, but all right. Don't. Maybe next hour.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Catherine McPhee from American Idol. Oh, man. See those photos of her the other day on the beach in the bikini?
Oh, yes.
Filming that movie?
She somehow
she's hot.
Gets better looking. She's just maturing
into
she looks better now at 25 than she did when she was 21 on that show.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Danica Patrick, indie driver, is 27 years old today. Yeah, I guess, Belle. Here's the thing about Danica Patrick, though. It just strikes me as that she is considered hot only because she's an IndyCar driver.
Yeah,
if she was on television or something, she would like be the bottom of the list of hot girls on television.
But she's Belle-worthy.
She's not model hot, but she's definitely.
But
she's
only
definitely
because
attractive.
Of her profession. Everyone treats her like she's some sort of pinup. But it's just because she's a race car driver. Because
she's the hottest
like
race car driver ever.
Right. It's the Sarah Palin phenomenon of government. Everyone
That's
thought
right.
Sarah Palin was, she's so hot. Only because she was standing next to Hillary Clinton.
You speak
exactly.
the truth.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, she's attractive, but she's not hot.
Well,
right.
Well, there's a ruling.
Sean Farris from Never Back Down is 27 years old today. Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies turns 30. Sarah Jessica Parker, 44 years old today. Oh, she's not a horse. You're right. My bad. Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives is 47. Elton John turns 62. And Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, 67 years old today. Still can sing. Still can eat. Those are two things we are sure of. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, don't get me wrong. I'm excited about today's Kevin and Bean Show. We've got some good stuff coming up.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, Billy Mays, the world's greatest television pitchman, is going to be here later.
No way.
Greatest pitchman ever. I that television.
Billy Mays for Mighty Putty. He's going to be here tomorrow.
Foxy
on the show.
Clean. Get down your worst stains.
Also, comedian Dennis Leary on tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean show. Greetings, Ralph, this email begins. I hope all is well with you. I have a question that I think is controversial by some. What is your opinion? What is the definition of bandwagon sports fans? Mm. That is how the email begins from K-Rock listener Gio, who joins us on the phone so we can get some background on how this topic came up in his life recently. Gio, welcome to the Kevin and Bean show. How are you, my friend?
What up, party people? Good morning, Lisa, man.
Gio bandwagon. What's up?
So, Gio, what happened? You were at Campus Billiards recently. What city is that in?
It's in Cyprus.
All right. And what was the conversation you guys were having?
We were just having a beer, you know, talking about sports. And we were talking about the World Baseball Classic that's been playing. And a buddy of mine starts to say, he's like, oh, you know, all Korean people are, you know, bandwagon sports fans. Where were they, you know? They don't watch baseball. What happened? Where did they come from? And then the other guy, my buddy Moon, is just like, that's not true. You know, people watch the Olympics. You know, we don't always watch, like, swimming and stuff like that during, you know, off season or whatever. So you get into, like, a heated debate about this. And this is, like, not the first time it's happened.
Right.
So they're just like, really at it. And, like, I'm trying to get my little points in, and they're not hearing me, you know? So they're just pretty much, like, one guy's, it's like black and white. They're not seeing, you know, eye to eye on this.
So you said in your email to Ralph that it literally came close to punches being thrown over this, right?
Yeah, we all grew up together. But these guys, it got to the point where I was, like, almost about to stop these guys from, you know, getting each other's throats. And my uncle Chad, even, he, like, up and left. He was, like, tired of it.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, and, you know, when you say bandwagon, I mean, it obviously has negative connotation. I mean, I think, Ralph, would you agree that most people, when they say bandwagon, they mean this is somebody who doesn't deserve to be allowed to root for that team, right?
This is a very inflammatory subject, and I'm glad you brought it up, Gio, but it seems like bandwagon fans garner the most attention when they hop on board a team that is suddenly doing well, that has a history maybe of struggling or not being successful, and once they are doing especially well, they tend to attract a lot more fans, and that's what makes the longer hardcore fans very upset.
Absolutely, I agree.
So it's not even the people who are getting on board to get to a team that's hot. It's that they're not there in the lean years. That's
right.
The problem with the bandwagon fans is, yeah, when the Ducks are in the Stanley Cup, I love the Ducks. But if they don't make it the next year, well, I'm not watching. I'm not going. I'm not following.
It's the guy who's had Duck season tickets forever and then sees all these people wearing jerseys once they get into the finals. That's the guy that's cheesed off.
True. I have a question, though. What about the guys who just like watching sports? Like, they're not, you know, maybe they're a big basketball fan, but they decide to watch hockey because it's on. I think that there's a certain point that, like, maybe they can cheer, but maybe you shouldn't be out there like, yeah, Ducks fan number one, you know?
So there's a level.
You can cheer, but you can't own any merch. You can't have any merchandise. That should be the rule.
Yeah.
And trust me, I have been guilty of this myself. I was a fan of a particular football team that will go unmentioned because I lost a bet this year.
But I don't want to have to pay to say their name.
But there's a bar in Santa Monica where all the fans of this particular team go to. And for many, many years, this team was bad, was not very good. And then they started getting into the playoffs on a regular basis, and we saw this bar suddenly just fill up with people wearing the jerseys and the hats and everything. And I have to admit, I was a little ticked off that I had been there for many years when they had losing records. Records, and now all of a sudden all these people were showing up with particular jerseys on and hats and that kind of stuff, and you do feel a little angry, and I'm not even sure why I felt angry. I should have been welcoming those people into the brotherhood that we could all get together and root for the same team, but instead I was resentful, and I'm not sure why.
That's the way I feel. I feel kind of the opposite of you. During the mid-90s, when there were some lean years for the Lakers, there wasn't quite the fanfare around L.A. that there is now. And
right.
Then around 99, 2000, you really started to see an increase in Laker fans. And I was there for the tough times. I was there rooting them on. And I encouraged more and more people to join on the support team for the Lakers. To me, I look at it this way. More Laker fans, it's better for me. I mean, that's the way I look at it. As a Laker fan, the more the merrier.
But there are some people who – I understand both sides of this one, by the way, because then you get to the point where – you can't even get a ticket to a Lakers game because there are so many fans. You know what I mean? I mean, there is a downside to a team becoming too popular.
Then again, it's in a way, it's like better popular than, like, nobody goes to the games kind of thing, I guess. But then it's like...
Yeah, because you'd be a Clippers fan if that were the case.
See, I don't want to say anything, but yeah.
See, I think there is a certain cachet that goes along with being in an elite group of people. It's like... You know, if you're it's like when you go see a band. If you've seen a band in a tiny little club and you discovered this band, and all of a sudden then they get a big record deal and everyone's listening to them on the radio and they're playing, the Staples Center, you feel like you've lost a little something because you used to be part of some sort of unique little group, and then maybe you get upset when you feel like you have to share that feeling or that energy with a lot of people.
I've given that a lot of thought, Ralph, and that really has become a pet peeve of mine, because if I love a band, if I support a band, I'm so happy that they made it. Because they deserve it, because I think they're so talented that I love them. I want them to be able to sell out the Staples Center, because that means they're doing great.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
I see your point, but I think, especially with sports teams, there gets to be a sense of camaraderie. You get to be this tight little minority. It's us against the world kind of thing. And you feel sort of like almost a badge of honor that you support this losing team. And there's a handful of other people who are in that boat with you. And then when the times are good and everyone is wearing the jersey or everyone is celebrating, you feel like you've lost that camaraderie with that small group of people.
We want to take your phone calls, but hang on one second. Yeah, we want to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have any thoughts on the bandwagon fans, if you got no problem with them or you're against them, listen to this email, Gio, and tell me if this is maybe what one of your friends who was trying to fight in the bar the other night is talking about. Because I think Andy really puts it into words here that I think a lot of people can relate what he's talking about. I have a friend who went to college in Boston, and the minute the Red Sox made the playoffs and then won the World Series, he became the biggest fan in the world. I've noticed that bandwagon fans talk more crap than quote-unquote real fans because they're desperate to show that they are real fans and to be accepted by the actual fans. Also, the most annoying trait I've seen out of them is that bandwagon fans always want to refer to the team as we. Example being, we won, as if they're part of the team. And apparently that just drives Andy crazy, because how dare you come into this 2 years ago and say we when I've been supporting this team for 20 years and don't say we, I guess is what he's saying.
I think he's got a point. Bandwagon fans do tend to be the biggest smack talkers and the ones who get in your face the most.
I think that's because they haven't been humbled by the losing years. You know, they're for instance, this year I was very reluctant to start talking crap during the Dodger playoff run, even though they swept the Cubs. Because I knew – I mean, I –
because you knew they had to face the Phillies.
Right.
And doom was coming.
Well, it's just that I'd seen them lose for so many years, and I'd seen mediocre teams. I was not prepared to just get all excited right away.
Yeah.
And I think that, bandwagon fans don't experience that, so they are quick to talk, the schmack.
Gio, how did it end the other night in the bar, man? How did you guys settle it?
We just started talking about chicks, and, eventually they let it go. Yeah. Hopefully they listen to the show, and they won't go into this topic again.
Are you one of our Korean listeners?
Oh, yes, I'm a Korean. Yeah,
I am. Well, I can see the point, especially during the Olympics or during something like the WBC, where suddenly maybe there's a Korean person who has never been interested in baseball, suddenly now is all about baseball because the Koreans have gotten into the finals kind of thing. And for someone who's a real baseball fan, that would cheese them off a little bit.
But that's pretty natural, though. I mean, look how many people all of a sudden got into women's soccer back in the 90s.
I know, it's bogus.
When the USA team was good,
and that's
right?
Bogus. Because women's soccer blows.
Gio, the reason I ask you is because we've got a Rolodex of go-tos. You know, we've got Anel, who's our token blacklister. I'd like to nominate Gio as being our token Korean listener.
Oh,
who can speak
cool.
on all things Korean.
Yes,
on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about that?
All right.
So the next time, we get a story or something like that where we need the Korean perspective, we're going to give you a call and talk to you about it. All right, dude?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, you'll be our soul brother.
There it is.
See? See what he did there?
Seoul is a big city in Korea.
All right, Gio, we're going to hang up on you, but we got a bunch of people calling in, and we're going to continue this conversation after the break. All right, dude?
For sure. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
Gio, man. Right, thanks a lot for emailing, Ralph, and thanks for coming on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, bandwagon fans, what up? You've been listening to what we've been talking about. What do you have to add to the conversation? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming right back at you after this on camera. I liked the Foo Fighters back before they were popular, man.
Yeah.
That was me, man.
You don't know,
jumping
man.
Jumping up more now.
I hate the fact that you guys all like them now.
I'm pre-Everlong, man. It's Kevin Beach Show at K-Rock talking about bandwagon sports fans. We'll get right back to your calls. Ralph, you had an email.
Yeah, this comes from listener George, and he may have a point. You guys may be lumping two separate categories together. Bandwagon fans are those who have no interest or connection to a particular team or sport, then suddenly jump on the trend, popularity, or success of that team. A fair weather fan is one who is partial to a specific sport or team that only gets excited and roots for the team when they are doing well.
Oh.
So we may have to look at that, because he may have a point. There may be people who live in Los Angeles who maybe went to SC, for example, didn't really care about the team so much in the 90s when they were struggling. Then Pete Carroll rolls in, they start kicking ass, and now he's all crimson and gold, you know, or cardinal and gold.
They weren't there when Petros was the captain.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So that may be a whole separate.
Almost single-handedly ruined the program.
That's
they weren't
right.
there for that.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a few calls. Pat is in Upland. He's on line 4 this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Pat, talking about bandwagon fans, what say you?
Absolutely. I agree with the guy who just emailed right there. There's the SC fans are probably the biggest fair weather / bandwagon fans there are on the planet. I'm a diehard Notre Dame fan, and Notre Dame and USC has a terrific rivalry, and it's built on a lot of years of tradition. But ever since USC has reemerged in the early 2000s, you go down to the Coliseum, and since the Raiders haven't been here, SC fans have took over, man. I'm telling you, they know nothing about, a lot of the fans don't know anything about what the Trojans are. The guy's wearing a number 32 jersey, and you go up and he's in your face telling you how good the Trojans are, and you go, hey, who's worn that jersey before? He goes, I don't know. I know your team sucks. Wow. I go, dude, when you know more about the other team than the fans do, that's a bandwagon.
Yeah.
See, Lisa, you didn't know it was so complicated. You just root for a sports team, did you?
I had no idea.
And I'll tell you, I have a lot more respect for a guy like Pat who says that he's been a Notre Dame fan forever because he's been through the good times, but lately he's just been suffering. But I respect him for sticking with that team.
Absolutely.
You can't abandon your team.
The funny thing is, for 13 years, we owned the Trojans, but the Trojan fans forget that because there's a new generation of Trojan fans.
That's right. All right, dude, great call. Thank you so much. Let's try Art in Los Angeles on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Art, what do you got for us?
I think bandwagon fans are douchebags.
Okay. and what is it about the bandwagon fan that bugs you?
All right, I'm a Kings fan, so that's a pretty crappy team, to say the least.
Having a tough season, yes.
Tough 40 years. But
tough decade, yeah.
But you go to the game, and then you see the guy sitting and he's wearing a jersey, and then you ask him something and he has no idea about the team or anything about them. He's just there and talking it up, and I have no respect for them.
Do you have to be an expert though to be a fan of a team
and have a jersey?
No, but whenever they're wearing the worst player's jersey and you know they just bought it, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, but so there's no part of you that goes, hey, I'm happy to see new people supporting the Kings. I'm happy to see the Los Angeles Kings selling tickets and having people show up to see their games. That doesn't occur to you.
I mean, just a little bit, but once they disappear, as soon as the Kings do bad again, that's what upsets me even more.
Yeah. Right. So you haven't seen them in a while. Okay.
See,
thanks for the call.
Because everybody has to be a new fan at some point.
True.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody has to start at some level. So you don't want to necessarily discourage somebody from becoming a fan for a team that you like just because they've just started being a fan for that team.
More so in this city, too, because very few people are like L.A. natives. A lot of people come from a lot of places around the world. I'm always happy to see new people get on because I figured they just moved here or something, you know?
Yeah.
I got an email, by the way, from a KROQ listener who says he had a friend who was a Sonics fan, lives in Los Angeles, but from Seattle, big Sonics fan. Once they moved to Oklahoma City, he decided he wasn't going to support them anymore, so he was looking for a new team. He said, I'm not going to just automatically be a Lakers fan because then I'll be accused of being a bandwagoner. So he flipped a coin and he was going to let the coin decide whether it was Lakers heads, Clippers tails.
Imagine his
relief when it came up heads.
Oh my God.
Josh.
That's just crazy.
All right, let's go to line 5 and talk to Eric in Covina.
Yeah, Eric.
Eric, you got a particular problem with what kind of bandwagon fans?
You know, I have been a diehard Raider fan. Win, lose, or tie, Raiders till I die, since I was a kid. I remember the good times back in 76 when the Raiders dominated. But when they moved to L.A., first of all, I disagreed with the move then. But what really cheeses me off is that because of their reputation and because of the colors of their jerseys, we had every gangbanger in L.A. and surrounding areas all of a sudden become Raider fans.
Sure.
And it really pisses me off because, you know, we're supporting the team because we love the team.
Right.
They're supporting nothing but the color and the reputation.
That's right.
It's true. I can see that.
Totally understand that. Yeah, I can totally understand that.
I will welcome any fan, but they have to be a fan and not just somebody who is doing it for popularity. And I love the Raiders' reputation. I always have. But, I mean, come on, dude. Just
yeah, I know what you're talking about. You want people who are there because of the football. You know, it's so similar. I mean, Ralph brought up a great point earlier in the half hour where he talked about how there are a lot of similarities between this conversation and what goes on in the music world with people who are fans of bands. And you bring up an outstanding point, too, because look at all the people who go to Acoustic Christmas or go to the Weenie Roast, and they don't care anything about the bands that are playing on stage. Don't care about the music at all, but they know it's a hot ticket, and they know it's a hip place to be.
It's a scene.
It's a scene, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly the same thing that you're talking about with the people who are coming to the Raiders games. Doesn't have anything to do with what's, you know, in this case, what's on the field or at our concerts, what's on the stage.
Yeah, but those fans aren't bandwagon fans as much as they are paddy wagon fans. Usually they're in the back of a paddy wagon.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's squeeze in another geo, this one from Van Nuys on line 7. If I'm reading correctly what Geo's about to tell us, you may be prepared to hate him. Geo, hi, welcome to Kevin and Beach Show. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Geo?
Hey, I'm a LA native and I'm a hometown guy. I root for my hometown teams, the Lakers, and you know, Dodgers,
right?
Even the Avengers. But when it comes to NFL, I consider myself a jumper.
A jumper?
Yes, sir.
What's that?
Well, I grew up, you know, in Hispanic culture, soccer was our main sport.
Right.
I didn't know anything about football. When I started learning about football, at the time, the most popular team was the Cowboys. So I started liking the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. When I had a better understanding about football, I jumped on the bandwagon with the Buccaneers because of their defense.
Okay.
Okay.
Now I'm on the bandwagon with the Chargers because there's rumors that they might come back to L.A. once L.A. is ready to have a team.
Right.
So that's why I consider myself a jumper.
So you, at various points, depending on who's hot, I mean, I guess there are a lot of people out there who probably get on board the Patriots when the Patriots are winning or the Steelers when the Steelers are winning because they don't have their own team, so they just like to root for whoever's entertaining to watch, I guess.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, everyone hates you.
Everyone does hate you, exactly. You have no business being a sports fan. Thanks for the call. Well, I got some good news for you guys. We've been trying to get him for months. He's finally agreed to talk to us. An exclusive worldwide interview with K-Rock listener Nick, apparently, is about.
Wow, we've landed Nick?
Woohoo!
I don't know how. Nick is this guy, for folks who don't recognize the name.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight! I'm like, motherfucker!
So I got an email from Nick yesterday that says, I wouldn't normally do this, but I need to talk to you guys on the air. So apparently we have his approval to call him.
Finally, we were able to book Nick.
A lot of things have been happening lately with me.
Right?
What? Say that again, Nick?
A lot of things have been happening with me lately.
Oh, well, then we absolutely need to catch up.
So it's like the bat signal in the sky. All of a sudden you had things you got to get off your chest and you need to do it on the radio. Right, Nick?
I got an internship, you guys.
An internship?
I got an internship at a screenplay reading company, like a real Hollywood internship.
A screenplay reading company.
Yeah, no. Basically, what they do is they people submit their screenplays, and you know I read them and write the coverage reviews for them.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah.
Is this for a studio or a production company?
It's kind of like a loose kind of production company. They're not really they know people, but they're not really tied on anyone.
Well, it's a scam, in other words.
It sounds like a scam.
A little effing shaky.
No, it's not.
Nick, are they charging people to turn screenplays into your company?
It's an internship, Bean. It's like they're going to try and help me get like
No, that's not what he asked.
That's not the question at all.
This company you work for?
Do they charge the people who submit scripts?
I don't want to see the name on the air.
You don't have to. Do they charge people to read their screenplays?
They don't charge.
Okay.
I find that hard to believe because you got to pay to get somebody like Nick to read your screenplay. They can't give that away.
It's true.
I don't know, you guys. It's a big deal for me, you know?
I think it is, too. I am astonished that if I were to write a screenplay, you might be the person that rejects it or not.
Isn't it weird to think that Nick is the guy that could be standing between you and having your movie made?
I don't care for this. There's no role for Amanda Beard or whoever he loves.
That's Ralph has it right. It's Amanda Beard from the old Married with Children that you're obsessed with, right, Nick?
Amanda, who's that?
Who's the girl that you're crazy about these days?
Amber Heard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what it was. Okay. Nick, you've been writing a lot of emails. She's attractive. Yeah, she's a good-looking woman.
She's beautiful. Her hair, her blonde hair is blonder than all the others.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm serious. No, just, I like her. I really like her. I want to see her in more stuff.
Okay.
Nick, Nick, I hate to say this, but Nick reminds me of me sometimes when he gets hung up on a chick. You know, he just goes crazy.
And now you know how annoying it is?
Nick emails me all the time, and I'll get emails from Nick, and he'll write to me, and I'll go, Amber Heard's middle name is Laura. I know. I looked it up on Wikipedia. I mean, those are the kind of emails I'm getting from Nick.
That's creepy.
I don't know. Something about has gotten, you know, in my head lately. I mean, she's just new and fresh to me.
Okay. What's she on? I'm not familiar with her work. What is she on? What does she do?
She was Seth Rogen's girlfriend, Pineapple Express.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. No,
and
she's
going to be in this new movie where she gets totally naked.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Okay.
And
just look her up, you guys. All I'm asking for. You gotta look her up.
What's your strategy, Nick, really to get close to her now that you're in show business and she's in show business? It sounds to me like you guys have a lot in common.
Just work hard. That's all it is. Just work hard and be a good, respectable man. That's all it takes. That's what I want to do.
You want Amber Heard to be a good, respectable man?
No. I want to be a good, respectable man, you know, so she'll see me and is like, oh, you're attractive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, respectable
that's going to happen.
Nick, are you done with sign holding altogether?
Not yet. I mean, my hours got cut back because of the recession, so I'm doing less hours there. But I'm still doing it, so I'm still a sign holder. But I'm writing more and sign holding less, and that makes me happy.
All right. Yeah. So you're in a good place in your life. Sounds like things are going pretty well for you. You sound pretty happy.
I am. Life is exciting. Exciting times for me. You know.
Okay.
Are you still working on your epic screenplay?
I am. I'm rewriting it. Yeah.
You're going to add a little length to it, a little size? Add a couple hundred pages?
Everything, you guys. It's sexy and violent and cool.
I agree with Ralph, though. The problem with your screenplay is I thought it ended too soon. The problem was too brief.
I'm trying to cut it down. I am trying to cut it down. I'm trying to make it, you know, better, you know?
Under 1,000 pages, Nick? Can you make it under 1,000 when you're done with it?
Look, it'll get out there. It's good. It'll make it. I have faith in it. I'm willing to wait.
Well, maybe maybe the effing shaking company you work for will help you get it off the ground.
Talked to my boss about it. I did. I seriously did.
Absolutely, Nick. We'll absolutely get that around the show business for you. Well, just cut me a check for $1,000 and I'll put it in the right hands.
Why are you always so cynical, Ralph?
Because in Hollywood, let's face it, they've got to be charging people to take their screenplays for them to read them. I think you're crazy if you don't know that, Nick.
This whole thing is legit. It just feels right. It's been going well, you know?
I'm happy for you, but I'm telling you that somewhere out there, there's some poor guy, some poor schmuck who sweated blood over a screenplay. He sends it in and you read it. I mean, is that really worth the money?
I do it for free. I'm doing it for free and I feel good about it, you know?
We understand you feel good, but you are passing judgment on other people's screenplays?
Yes, I got.
That's terrifying, Nick.
You know,
who thinks you're qualified to pass judgment on other people's screenplays?
I wrote one, Ralph. I wrote one. Okay?
Yeah, you wrote a bad one.
I wrote one, Ralph. Okay. I'm sorry. I love my own work. I just stand up for myself. You know.
So anyone who's written a screenplay. Anyone can do
judge other people's screenplays.
Well, I got the job because I basically just called this company. I saw like an ad online. I called them up and I talked to like the head guy for like 40 minutes and he hired me.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds legit. I think you're off and running, dude. Honestly, I got no complaints with it. I think it sounds great. And your screenplay is going to be made into a movie. And Amber Heard is not only going to star in the movie, she's going to fall in love with you, the screenwriter, and you two will probably get married and have a lot of kids.
All right.
That's what he needed to hear.
a little positive encouragement.
A little boost of reality. That's what Nick needed.
All right, Nick. So we're done now, right? We don't talk to you again until what? Next year, right?
Whenever you feel like it or whenever I feel like it.
Let us know when you feel like talking to us, Nick.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck. Good luck to you, Nick. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Maribel, I doubt this is right, but it looks like Waragui from Montebello just won tickets to go see The Offspring June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. What do you think, Ralph? You think it's Waragui?
That's not a name that's ever been given to anyone.
I'm sure I'm saying it wrong.
It's Cleo. She's an idiot.
It's like Juarez.
Yeah. It's just misspelled. Okay.
It's Smith.
Anyway, she's won tickets to go see The Offspring ahead of them going on sale this week, and that show is June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And Maribel, and God, I hope she doesn't win, so we don't have to say her name again on Friday.
Jerry Guy.
is eligible now for the grand prize drawing to see The Offspring
Jaragui
in the world. Yeah, maybe. Could be. All right.
Yarugua.
756 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. What's happening?
Just an aside, have you seen this month's Allure magazine?
No.
Is Cindy Crawford Pictures?
Allure magazine. Who's their anti-aging issue. Cindy Crawford.
Oh, yeah, yes, I've seen it.
Is 43 years old.
She sure the hell is.
It's insane what she looks like at 43 years old.
Yeah.
And after having two kids.
She's naked except for shaving cream in one of the photographs. And you would be hard-pressed to say she's older than 30. It's just a freak of genetics, what she
this
looks like.
This is insane.
And then she gives you a series of tips about anti-aging, what to smear on your body and what to eat and, you know, how to
conduct
your life.
And then we'll look like her? I don't think
well,
so.
Well, whatever it is, do it. That's what I'm telling you, Lisa.
I
just
need to be born
it.
Of her parents,
whatever
I
she's
believe.
Telling you to do, just do it. You may not end up looking like
no.
her, but well. It would couldn't be...
it couldn't hurt.
Hey, Gene Simmons, wearing a goofy hat. What are you doing here, Gene?
I like this hat. Don't make fun of me. Lisa May, I can recommend something to smear all over your body.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Sure, I know what that
thanks,
is.
Chock full of protein.
Thanks, Gene.
Lipids.
Gene, you're talking out of your ass, dummy.
Organic.
We're good, Gene.
Oh, that's not where he's talking.
Not back in the box, Gene. Back in the box.
Speaking of going back in the box,
all right.
Lisa,
all right, Gene. Thank you. We're done. Anyway, just if you haven't seen the photos, find them online or what do you got? What do you got there, Psycho Mike? Where
Tyler, what would Tyler Durden do?
WWTDD.com.
Yeah,
you can see the photos there, and she's ridiculous. She's insane.
Yeah, she. It's unbelievable how hot she is.
But
we were talking the other day about Jennifer Aniston, how much hotter she is at 40 than she was at 25. I don't know what it is about some women, but they manage to do that. It's
I don't know about Cindy Crawford. I know Jennifer Aniston absolutely kills herself trying to take, you know, work out and eat right, though. I mean, that she's earned. She exercises like crazy.
Well, Cindy Crawford's not looking like that sitting on the couch
eating
Dove bars either. You know what I'm saying?
No.
But whatever she's doing, it's magical.
Do it, Lisa.
Just do it. Whatever
okay,
she says to
fine.
Do,
I'll
do
get
it.
The magazine and
get
I'll
the magazine
do it.
And do it and dedicate your life to it. Whatever
all right.
she says to
keep
do.
It magic and keep it wonderful.
All of you women.
It's funny that it's shaving cream she covered herself with, Ralph, because as you can see in this picture, no shaving cream necessary.
No need for shaving cream. Doesn't ever have to do that.
Yeah.
I heard during the photo shoot that was mentholated shaving cream. It was that minty shaving cream. So in particular regions where she put it, it was very sort of
tingly.
Oh,
refreshing.
Frosty, tingly kind of sensation. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that? We got the girl back on the phone?
No, it's not the winner, but he says
he knows.
He knows
how to say Maribel's last name?
Oh, okay, good, because we were saying Huarugui or something.
Huarugui.
Haragua. Andrew from Paramount on line one, how do you know what this answer is?
Actually, I grew up with a bunch of people with the same last name. It's probably not the same lady, but it's spelled Haudugi.
Say it again?
I'm
it's
sorry.
Pronounced?
It's pronounced Haudugi. Haudugi.
Haudugi?
Well,
Haudugi. There's no D in this name. It's J-A-U-R-E-G-U-I.
I know, it looks like Jaraguai, right?
Yeah, Jaraguai.
Haudugi, it's... I don't understand it either, but I grew up with a bunch of people with the same name.
Is that,
it's Haudugi?
Is that Filipino?
Haudugi. No, it's Mexican, I believe.
Ooh, yeah, bitches, I didn't get it wrong.
All right.
All right.
You seem to buy what? I heard Amp's hiring.
Hi!
All right, Andrew, well, thank you for that. We appreciate the call. Haudugi.
Right. Haudugi. Now we know. Moving on.
Hey, we're out of time now.
Here we are. Right, one last story. Dude who works for, he doesn't work for, he did one of these celebrity auctions where you get to buy something for a ridiculous amount of money if you're rich, and then you get to do something cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities will offer something up that you can spend big cash on because they're raising money for charity.
Right. This guy was at an event held by the Lily Claire Foundation. I'm not quite sure what sort of charity the Lily Claire Foundation is, but I'm sure they do good work. He spent $30,000 to win a auction item, which was to hang out with Angelina Jolie.
Really?
A meet and greet with Angelina Jolie. I'm not sure how long he gets to spend with her, but it was a chance to interact personally one-on-one with Mrs. Brad Pitt. That was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He still hasn't gotten to meet her, or has he gotten his money back?
You're kidding.
So now dude is suing the Lily Claire Foundation, wants his money back plus damages.
Wow.
Because he never got a chance to meet her.
You know, that's so surprising because she has done 5 movie premieres since then. I mean, it wouldn't have been difficult to fly the dude in and let him get his picture taken and shake a hand and you're done with it, right?
Right. So until that happens, he apparently now he's not even interested. Now he just wants his money back plus, of course, damages. because he's somehow irreparably harmed by not meeting Angelina Jolie. If that's the case, I think they all owe us some money because I've never met him.
I feel his pain.
I do, too. All right. Uruguay. Uruguay.
Hadoogie.
Hadoogie. Today's celebrity birthday is Aretha Franklin. She's 67 years old today. Elton John, 62. Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives. Yeah. She's 47. Sarah Jessica Parker. Yeah. He's 44 years old. Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies turns 30. Sean Farris, Never Back Down star, is 27. And Catherine McPhee.
Woo!
Oh, come on. Come on. She's just, we got to have her in for some reason, don't we? Don't we have to have her? She hasn't been on the show for a long time.
She hasn't.
I think she's got a movie coming out later this year. We may try to do
no,
that.
No, it's yeah. not soon enough. Come on! Her hair is the blackest of the black!
All right. Here's an email Geraldo writes in and says, all kidding aside, it's a fairly common Hispanic name, so you look like a moron if you live in L.A. and you struggle with the name. It's pronounced Howrigi. Howrigi. Which makes more sense than howdy-do or whatever the last guy said, but Howrigi is what he said.
Howrigi.
So apparently we're a-holes because we didn't know that.
Well, we're not the only ones. I got news for you.
We stand corrected and we apologize to all the Howrigis out there.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Now it's settled. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey! You have a chance to win your tickets.
Oh,
Kevin
and
Bacon's Foolishness. Guys, hey doesn't work with every song. That's right. What I'm trying to
but
tell
we're
you.
But we're going to make it work with every
time.
Song.
I'll get it next time.
Your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness you can win later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Why are there so many chicks in the studio all talking at once? Well, because we're talking about a new survey from the Oxygen Cable Network that we mentioned very briefly this morning, and Alex has been fuming ever since. They interviewed 2,000 women aged 18 to 34, and there were some interesting questions, but the one that really seems to be that has caused
that
the chatter
in
the
no,
you
lying.
Do not agree with. You do not
agree with.
The question was, what percentage of women do you guys think would – shave their heads, willingly shave their heads in order to save the life of a stranger, somebody that they don't know.
Correct. Lisa, what did you guess first?
I think I guessed 25%.
I guess 15.
Well, according to Oxygen Magazine in their survey, 75% said they'd be willing to shave their heads to save the life of somebody they don't know.
Lying bitches.
So, nope.
Nope.
So clearly you think they're just saying what makes them look good rather than what they do.
This is a group of women who said that they would rather win America's Next Top Model than win a Nobel Peace Prize.
Right. But they'll shave their heads.
I mean, come on. Really?
I think it's easy to answer that in the abstract. And I think when they come to you with the razor in hand, it's a whole nother story.
Totally.
And you're talking about shaving their heads, not even just cutting their hair short, shaving their heads.
Yeah. Women are really vain.
But you have to – I mean, let's accept for a minute that this challenge exists in the real world. It's not just a theoretical. They come to you with the razor and they say, okay, for reals now, if you don't let me shave your head, some person around the world is going to die because of your decision. Doesn't that prompt you to say, yeah, you know what? If somebody's really going to die, I mean, if this is really happening, go ahead and shave.
If they tell me some person around the world is going to die, I need more information.
That's someone far removed you'll never see. It doesn't affect you personally. I think many more people
Alex.
Would say no.
Now, if you
on.
Have a guy
I'm
in
serious.
Front of me
Alex.
And you're going to cut his head off
I do.
If I don't do it.
And also, you know.
That's different.
Why is the a-hole dying? Did he deserve it? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, people are dying around the world all the time anyway.
Listen, we qualified that off the air. They don't come to you and say, oh, by the way, he's a pedophile, and so don't worry about it.
By the way, he's
it's
on
all,
death row anyway. They don't say that.
Yeah, no, you're assuming this is a normal, regular, God-fearing, good person.
Who
and
doesn't
you just
have
allow
anything
him to die?
Who hasn't done anything to deserve being killed randomly because you're vain and won't let you cut your hair off, which is going to grow back in 3 months anyway.
If you come to me and you go,
three
okay,
months, no.
Here's
try
his name. Yeah, exactly. Here's his name. He's married, and here are his kids.
Yeah,
if I'm going to do it.
If there are no personal facts, if a woman has no connection with who he or she is as a human being, I say half say no. Totally.
At least,
yeah. At
would
least.
You two say no?
I don't know what I would say.
I don't know what I would say either.
Someone's
How
going
can you
to
not
die.
Someone's going to die.
I'm being honest. I mean,
totally
if you really
honest.
Just tell me, someone in this world,
yeah,
somewhere but is going to die.
You understand that's crazy because we're not talking
we're
about...
We're not saying it's rational. It's chicks here. Of course it's crazy.
I need
not,
proof.
We're not talking about an ear. I can even understand if someone said, we're going to cut off your ear.
An ear.
And you're going to be deformed for life. Your hair does grow back pretty quickly.
Right.
In the long scheme, it doesn't
hurt
you.
Not
that fast. It doesn't. It would take a year. And a woman out on the street with a bald head, I'm going to lie and say that I'm a cancer survivor for 8 months. So
fine.
I can
either way, but
and
you
I'm
saved
gonna
a
get
life.
Donations.
Totally. That'd be awesome. We could make money.
All right, we'll do
okay,
it.
We're in.
That is honked up.
Women
guys,
are honked up.
We are. Because right. Men value a woman's hair in society. And
no.
You're taught as a little
I
girl.
I had this discussion with Mike.
Excuse me, Alex.
No, let me finish.
Hey,
parents,
men are talking here.
Society.
Men are talking.
Yeah,
turn off your microphone, please,
up.
Mike. Don't you think that your boyfriend would have a lot more respect for you if you saved a person's life rather than hang on to your hair? Wouldn't that
yes,
be worth more than whether your appearance is valuable or not?
Yes, that's not what Alex is saying. Alex is saying we've been conditioned from day one that our appearance, and a lot of that has to do with our hair, is super important. And most of the time, if you tell a guy, and Mike says he doesn't do that, that's fine, you're the exception. If you go to a guy that you're dating or whatever and say, I'm going to cut my hair off, what do you think? I'm going to cut it short. It doesn't matter if it would look better.
Don't
they always
it.
Go,
don't
no,
cut
don't cut it.
But that's not what this is about. This isn't you
it
just
is.
Randomly
it's about
deciding
conditioning.
To cut.
You're asking
but
what the, women are thinking, and we're telling you what they're thinking. I'm not saying it's
but,
rational.
But,
it's crazy.
But aren't they thinking, yeah, I'm shaving my head, which isn't what the guy would like, but when I explain to him that I did it to save a human life, all of a sudden, now you know you
it's
get a pass.
It's not about the guy. It's about our own personal vanity. I don't care if he likes it or not. I do stuff he doesn't like all the time. Whatever.
Well, that was my point, is that you're conditioned from a young age to value your hair, not by men, but by other women, by your mothers or your older.
I think it's
by
both.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
You are. Women believe that that's the way men feel, and they want to look good for men. But for the most part, when you women get all dressed up and get ready to go out and make sure that you look your best, you're doing that mostly for other women.
That's not true.
No, I don't
it's
think
both.
So either.
It's to get laid and to high-five your girlfriends that you look cute. It's both.
All right.
It's to
Mike,
look good for
Mike
men.
Is a woman, so he does know what he's talking
no,
about.
No, he's all a right, gay man. Doesn't count.
By the way, phones are blowing up. Most of them want you not only shaved but dead. So let's
fired. One of them is fired.
Sweet.
We're going to take some calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Let's just take one call real quick before the break, and then please hang on, and you can call in if you want to weigh in on this topic too. Diana is in Santa Ana. She's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Diana, help me out with these girls because they're just not listening.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on here at all. I totally am siding with the guys on this. I mean, you're saying that your hair is more valuable than a human life?
No,
no
not really.
Not. We're saying
not
most
saying
women with this poll are probably lying, and there's a greater percentage that would have to think about it as opposed to just automatically say yes, according to this poll.
I'd have to think about it, but still, my hair is not worth more than a human life. I don't care if my boyfriend doesn't like it. I'd shave my head to save a human life. Hands
you
down,
have to.
Be somewhere way around across the world.
So you never know. They just go, some random guy somewhere in this world is going to die if you don't shave your head. You go, okay.
I'd shave my head if he was really going to die.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying I need more proof.
But Lisa, yeah. We're accepting the central premise of the question is that this is real, is that they really are going to shave your head and the guy really is going to die if you don't. I mean, you have to accept that premise that
okay.
It's really going to happen.
I have trouble accepting that premise.
Is he over 50 or under 50? Is he like 85 or is he 21? That
makes
a difference.
Come on. It's still a guy who's dying because of a decision that you're making. Why
no,
is that?
No, he's going to die anyway.
We're all going to die anyway, though, Alex. I
but
don't want to
really
die.
He's really old.
I love it.
Yeah, and you can't base this on I have trouble accepting this because it's a theoretical. When in the world would a shaved head save someone's life? Never.
Never.
It's obviously
of course.
You got to just suspend your belief.
Of course.
Okay. I'm glad you called, Diana. Thank you very much. We got a lot of calls. Fortunately, most of them are angry, and we'll
sweet.
Take those when we return right after this. 1-800-520-1067 on the world-famous K-Rock.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
You sure the hell got that right today, my friend. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. The survey is from the Oxygen Cable Network. 75% of women surveyed said they'd be willing to shave their heads to save the life of a stranger. Now, assuming that number is accurate, assuming that the women were all telling the truth in the survey, that means 25% of the women in the survey, of the 2,000 women, which is 500 women, said, I'm going to keep my hair. Go ahead and kill that dude.
You know, I think what makes it a difficult decision is the idea that you will have no idea. It doesn't have to be someone I know, but I need to know. And I'm not even saying that I absolutely wouldn't do it, but I would like to have some connection just to see them, to know they're not just a giant dick. You know?
It's just your
hair, that would make
hair,
it a
though.
Whole
it's
lot
just
easier.
Your
you
hair.
Say that because look at your hair.
Oh, that's true.
You have no
right.
concept.
But what I'm saying is you shave your head, don't you feel bad for the entire rest of your miserable life that a guy died because of a decision you made?
Quite
I'm
possibly.
Just saying, those women
isn't
are lying.
Isn't human life worth something to you?
Those women are lying, and it's probably closer to 50-50. If it actually came down to it and the razor, that's 75%. That's like, yeah, whatever. No.
Let's talk with
totally,
Miriam
totally
in Garden Grove on line 6 on the Kevin Aveen Show. Miriam, thanks for holding on. What do you have to say about the women here?
I have to agree with them because I was in a class.
What is wrong with you people?
I was in a class a couple years ago in which I got a concussion and then my head split open and they had to shave my head. And I was so upset. I cried and I didn't want them to do it. And this was for saving my own life. And I was so upset because it was my hair. I'd been growing it out for so long and it hurt to have it cut.
Yeah. This is how crazy women are. To save her own life, she didn't want to shave her own head.
But it really is very traumatic, I think. I think for most women, it would be an extremely traumatic thing.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Look, I didn't say that you would enjoy it. I didn't say that you would be happy the way you looked about having your hair gone. But what I'm saying is it has to be balanced out by the fact that you saved some guy's life.
Well, I'm just saying I can't just cavalierly say, yeah, do it.
It does depend on the person. Karma's a bitch. Maybe they deserve to die. That's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying.
Let's try let's go to Whittier, please. Line 5. Susanna is on the line on the Kevin Aveen Show. Susanna, are you going to bring some common sense to this conversation?
You know, I sure hope so.
Hi, Susanna.
There aren't a whole lot of things that really make me upset, but this is really one of my blood was boiling, and I really hope that you're not speaking for 50-50 of the women, because, you know, there's people in our circle that are dying, and I wish there was something somebody could do to prevent them from dying.
If someone in my circle were dying, Susanna, so would I.
You know what? It would be more traumatic for me to know that I could have saved their life somewhere in this world that I don't know because I shaved my head, because I would have prevented a family from going through that. And I think it doesn't matter who they are. You're saving
But I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand. I don't think you're hearing Alex, Susanna. She's saying, but she wouldn't look cute.
Come on, give me a break. You know, I'm vain just like them. I do my hair every day. I wear makeup. I don't step out the door. I put on my perfume. But we're talking about somebody's life, somebody's family. And it doesn't matter. You know, it's not for us to judge what kind of life did they live. It's somebody's family. It's somebody's life. And I think that probably more than 75% of the people I hang out with would do it. So I don't know who they hang out with that they're saying 50-50 or 25 or whatever.
I think that it's because it's a total stranger. I think when you know someone who is, you know, has cancer or is terminally ill, you would do anything for them. You would cut off your right leg. Great.
Of course.
You're alive. I think the fact that it's a total stranger.
Obviously, there's a connection. If I shave my head, then they're going to live. There has to be some kind of retarded connection, but there's a connection. I could save their life.
I guess. What if they wouldn't do that for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take one more call. Alejandra in Sherman Oaks on line 7. I'll have to have the final word on this discussion. Then we'll tell you how you can win tickets for the Kevin Aveen April Foolishness. Alejandra, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hey there.
I'm calling in because I had cancer at 17, halfway through my senior year.
Oh, no.
And all my hair fell out, my eyebrows, everything. I can't draw to save my life, so my eyebrows, I couldn't work with it.
Right.
But I got jumped for my senior prom because I had no hair. The guy was very vain about it. I'm 25 now, and every guy I've ever met, when they find out I wear wigs because my hair never grew back the same, I used to have beautiful hair, but they could give a crap what you went through or, you know, what your story is. Guys are vain. Now, at this point in my life, I would shave my head to save somebody. I have nothing to lose now. I've got, like, 6 hairs left.
Oh, Alejandra. Downer.
So, basically, you're saying the women that wouldn't do it because they think it would be traumatically influence their life in a bad way are you know what they're talking about, because it's true.
It is true. But, like the girl said, you know, if you see the person that they're about to kill or whatever the fact may be, it's different, but if they tell you someone else across the world, unfortunately, things happen every day that you cannot control and people die.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does make it a much harder decision when it's presented
I would shave my head
way.
To kill Lisa right now, I'll tell you that.
No.
I would do that. If I could shave my head, they'd put Lisa down, I'd do it.
I'd quit if you just take your hair out of the freaking pigtails.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the How call. About that?
All right. We got to clear the lines now and invite you to call Kevin and Bean, 1-800-520-1067. If you are a fan of the comedy, do you like the laughs? Well, we got a plan for you. A week from Friday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, we're talking about raising a lot of money for Boarding for Breast Cancer. We got a virtually sold-out house to see Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman, and Jimmy's house band from the TV show, The Great Cleto and the Cletones, the best band on late-night TV. All of that for free for you. We got a game we're going to play next. It's a brand new thing we'll debut that you'll have a chance to play. Call us right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's after this on K-Rock. Yeah, it's the world famous K-Rock.
That's good.
106.7 KRQ. Comedian Dennis Leary on the program tomorrow, and Billy Mays for Mighty Putty will be here as well. I don't know this Sully Sullivan, but apparently he does a bunch of the infomercials too, right, Ralph?
British answer to Billy Mays.
Ah, fantastic. So that's tomorrow morning. Right now, though, we got some business to take care of. Kevin and Bean's first annual April Foolishness is our all-star night of comedy for charity a week from Friday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. It is sold out, but you can win tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. Our guest is James Lipton in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, from inside the Actor's Studio. Little theme music, please, Michael. What's the game we're going to be playing here today, Mr. Lipton?
Good morning, Bean Baxter.
Hi, James. You're going to need to talk a little faster than maybe you do on the TV because we're very tight on time.
Our game today, inside the comic studio.
Inside the comic studio.
I will be talking about biographical facts about some of the comedians performing on your show.
Okay.
And listeners will have to guess who I'm talking about.
Oh. All right.
Because you know everything about every celebrity, right?
That's As you know, I'm a great fan of the dance.
I have heard that.
Also,
about
no secret is how much I love to fly aeroplanes.
I don't know what that has to do with the game we're trying to play, but thank you for sharing.
Or why you say aeroplanes.
All right.
You know, I can't get a tattoo. My wife won't allow that.
We're not really interested in you at all. It's really about the stars on the show a week from Friday night at the Gibson. Let's try Mark in Hermosa. He's on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mark, listen up. James Lipton is here. He has a question for you that will require your answer to get in the drawing to win the Foolishness tickets, okay?
Okay. How you doing, guys? Here we go.
Hello, Mark.
From 1993 to 1995, this caustic comedian was a cast member of Saturday Night Live, although he called this time a constant struggle to get on camera.
Kevin Nealon?
No, I'm sorry.
I believe that was, wasn't that the great Jay Moore?
Jay Moore.
Yeah. Sorry,
nice
Mark.
Try, though. Thank you very much.
John Ferguson Moore.
Right. You know a lot about a lot of people. Matt is in Whittier on the Kevin and Bean Show on line two. Hey, Matt, welcome. Say hi to James Lipton.
What a do, nephews.
What a do, Matt.
Hey, Lisa.
This beloved funny man has also enjoyed a wildly successful career as a voiceover artiste, the pinnacle of which was as a culinary genius rat in 2007.
Oh, boy. Ratatouille.
Yes. Yes, who was the star?
The name of the comic more than the name of the movie.
Who was the star of that particular film?
He knows.
Is that Kevin Nealon?
Oh, Matt.
I will tell you now, none of the answers to these questions are Kevin Nealon.
Joe Rogan.
In case anyone is listening.
Okay, you only get one guess, and even that one was wrong. James Lipton, is it Kevin Nealon or Joe Rogan?
No, in fact, it is Patton Oswalt.
Okay, all right. So, big-time comedy fans on the line so far. Let's see if anyone is even going to get into the drawing to win the tickets, and we're going to try Nick here in Corona on line three. Nick, listen up. You're on with James Lipton inside the comic studio.
This star of an incredibly popular sitcom played a sports writer, and the ratings proved that, yes, everybody did indeed love him.
Ray Romano.
There you go.
Thank God. Thank God I put a simple one in there.
I don't know how you could have made that question any easier, Mr. Lipton. I mean, everybody loves him.
I started to panic, so I had to throw that in there.
All right, Nick is in the drawing. Let's see how Natalie does from Anaheim on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. Natalie, listen up. Here's your question from the great James Lipton.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
If one were to roast this comic genius and give him a dose of his own medicine, one might mention that his real last name is Lifschultz.
Jeff Ross?
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. How about that?
Jeffrey Ross Lifshitz.
Roast is the was the giveaway there. Lifshitz. Very well done, Natalie. Yes, that's his last
As
name.
As you know, I'm a huge fan of the name Lifshitz.
I did not realize that.
Lifshitz.
All right, we got time for Jay in Baldwin Park on line 5 inside the comic studio. Jay, you're on the air. You ready for your question?
Sure. And what's up, party people? What's
Here we go.
Hi, Jay.
This sassy, sharp-tongued actress from New Hampshire first started out writing in the 1990s for Saturday Night Live and enjoyed great success despite being incredibly hairy.
Oh, man. What's her name?
Oh. So many women on the bill. Tough to keep them all straight.
Jimmy Kimmel, that girlfriend, Jesus Christ, I can't remember her name.
Jesus Christ is not
is
the answer.
Is it Jesus Christ?
No.
Oh, no, it's not Jesus Christ.
Darn it.
Just one woman on the line.
Too late. You've been buzzed. James Lipton, is it Jesus Christ?
No, in fact, it is Sarah Silverman. Famous Jewess Sarah Silverman.
Jay is banging his head against the steering wheel.
As you know, I'm a huge fan of hairy Jewesses.
I did not realize that. All right.
I can't get a tattoo. My wife won't allow it.
Right.
I love to
final...
fly my plane.
All right, you mentioned that as
and
well.
And I love
no
the
one
dance.
Is it an airplane?
It's an aeroplane.
Okay. Juan is our final contestant from Whittier. He's on line 6 inside the comic studio with James Lipton. Hi, Juan. Listen up.
Okay.
This guy used to make people eat horse rectums.
Well, that's it. That's my only
clue.
That's all you need.
It's a giveaway,
what,
dude.
What
He's the only one
know.
On the bill.
That would be the great Jimmy Kimmel.
Although, now hold on. In Juan's defense, maybe Jimmy Kimmel did make people eat horse rectums, but we don't know him from that.
Otherwise, it would be Joe Rogan.
Yes, it would otherwise be Joe Rogan.
What otherwise is there?
Sure, should have said that first, though, shouldn't you?
Did it more often. Jimmy Kimmel, I'm sure, did it too.
He might have done it, but I think Mr. Lipton was going for Joe Rogan as the host of Fear Factor. Used to, in fact, make people eat horse rectums. All right,
made a longer career out of that than Kimmel did.
We've got Nick and we've got Natalie. They're in the drawing. I wish we could give tickets to both, but we only have one pair left. So who's it going to pick?
Natalie in Anaheim.
Natalie. Yay! Natalie, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. As you know, I love the dance.
She doesn't care.
I can't get a tattoo.
1 week from Friday, we'll see you at Kevin and Bean's first annual April Foolishness. Thanks for playing the game. Thank you, James Lipton.
My wife won't let me get a tattoo.
There's your No Doubt on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 8:54. Ralph Garman joins us with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. What are you talking about?
God damn it, when are they going to get back together again? Tour?
Never.
Come
never,
on,
not
this
gonna
is
happen.
BS.
Just give up that dream.
Ridiculous.
Give up that dream.
I'm so furious at them. Nights.
They couldn't have sold more tickets, couldn't be playing more often than they are.
What? Kim Kardashian's upset
Glendale.
About a new porno about to hit the streets. And here's the thing. She's not in it.
What?
That's rare for Kim. Usually she's upset about the one she is in. Oh, Ray J.
Oh, Ray J.
Oh, Ray J. Apparently, Hustler Entertainment has made an X-rated spoof of Kim's reality show that she stars in with the rest of her family called Keeping Up with the Kardashians. The spoof is called Keeping It Up for the Kardassians.
Yay, yay. I feel like Psycho Mike could do a better job with that title than that guy did.
Apparently, Kim is thinking of taking legal action. The best legal option, according to Legal Insiders, is to put a cease and desist order on the video because the whistling theme song in the porno sounds very similar to the one in the show. That may be their best shot, because parody is protected by the First Amendment. Usually.
Just stop and get a life. Porn's not even good anyway.
It is sometimes. So if you go to TMZ, you can see a little clip from the video. Wait, you see the giant dude that plays Chloe. It's awesome.
Is Bruce Jenner in it?
Where's my sister? I want to eat her. Chloe Kardashian, ladies and gentlemen.
Is there a Bruce Jenner character?
They found a woman to play Bruce, yes. Yeah. It all worked out. So.
Did you guys see, I don't watch the show, but God bless our friend Joel McHale on The Soup. Did you see the clip that he played last week of Bruce Jenner telling one of the Kardashians who was talking about posing for Playboy or doing a bikini shoot, well, you'd better lose some weight. You're getting kind of big. She's like, hey, I'm a little bit of a bigger girl. He's like, yeah, you're a bigger girl and you're fat. I mean,
whoa,
really, like,
awesome.
Reeling on her. It's hilarious.
That's great. Do we need another late night talk show?
Nope.
No.
TBS believes we do. They just announced yesterday that George Lopez will be doing a late night talk show.
The hilarious nope. George Lopez?
Wow, is that going to suck?
Nope.
It sure is.
I'm telling you right now, people, it's going to blow.
But George Lopez has an act where he talks about how he's Mexican, so he's crazy.
An hour-long show starting in November from 11 p.m. to midnight. George says it'll be an atmosphere like a street party. Good. I hope people get drunk and shot. Because that's just happens at street
that.
Parties. George Lopez, really?
Mm. It's not good. It's not going to be good. He's
no,
not a funny guy.
He's not. He's horrible. Not funny.
Hey, cabrón, what if the president was Mexican? He'd be like, hey, mijo, get the pickup truck from Uncle Rudy, and he'd pull it up.
Nope.com.
Nope. Dot. Com. We don't need him.
Nope.
He's not good like that Jimmy Fallon over on ABC. That's what I'm saying.
Nope.com.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Aretha Franklin. The Queen of Soul is 67 cakes old today. No. That's how many cakes she's going to have at her party.
She's got quite a hat, though, doesn't she?
Oh, can she wear a hat?
She sure can.
She wears a lid like nobody's business. Elton John, 62 years old today. He looks pretty good for 62.
I guess, yeah.
I guess it's the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Last night on TMZ, the TV show, they had a shot of Barry Manilow. Yeah. He's 65, I think.
I saw him in person like a month ago.
Apparently, he's had a major lift, and he looks quite youthful.
Well, he looked great.
Yeah.
The last couple of years, and you know I love the Barry. I'm a diehard fan of Lowe. You guys know that.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a wax figure. He's turned into that. He doesn't quite
his
look
face
like
has settled in, I think, because he looked pretty good.
Oh, good.
Barry Manilow. What a joke.
So stupid.
And boring as hell.
Yeah, no kidding.
You couldn't pay me to go to that thing. Just look at all the idiots.
All the dumbass Manilow fans.
Yep.
Wow, that hurts.
Marcia Cross is 47 years old today. Sarah Jessica Parker turns 44. Lee Pace.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
Yes, you do. Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies is 30. Sean Faris from Never Back Down is 27. And Catherine McPhee. Oh, Catherine.
Yeah.
We love you. I love you so much. I got the McPhee-ver still to this day. She's 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. Well, not really Kevin and Bean.
Have you seen Kevin anywhere?
He's not here.
What do you mean he's not here? He's team manager. He has to be.
I know, right?
He's actually on vacation. We don't know exactly what Kevin's doing, Lisa, but we have been able to track down Kevin's personal assistant, Linus, and I think we've got him on the phone from somewhere in America. Hey, Linus.
Hello, the other one. Hello, the woman.
Hi, Linus.
What? What do you want? I'm very busy. I'm very busy taking care of Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well,
you know, I am the personal attaché for Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, and Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show is on Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show vacation.
Yes.
And so when this happens, I have to go on vacation, too, and I'm very busy keeping his itinerary straight and keeping this thing moving along, so I don't have time to just jibber-jabber with you.
All right. Well, we're not going to take very much of your time. It's just that Kevin was so so cagey about where he was going. We didn't really know what his plans were for the vacation, but we figured if anyone would know, the guy who makes his plans, would be able to tell us.
It's very different this year for Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. Usually he likes to go to Las Vegas, or he likes to go someplace warm and tropical. But the wife of Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, Mrs. Kevin of the Kevin and Kevin and Bean Show, wants him this year to go with her to Graceland.
To Graceland?
Really?
You mean Elvis's house in Memphis?
The very same. The home instead of legendary entertainer Elvis Presley in Memphis, Tennessee. So that's where we are now. They're in Graceland. I'm still outside getting the arrangements for the ride home.
Okay, now I'm a little bit puzzled by this because Kevin hates Elvis and hates old things, and I don't know why. I mean, he would never go to Tennessee voluntarily.
Yes, but the truth is that his wife loved Elvis and wanted to see Graceland, never had, and I don't know what you know about how those things work in the Kevin and Kevin and Bean Show home. But
not
she
much.
Pretty much gets to tell Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show what Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show does.
Okay.
That's just how it works. So they're going to Graceland.
All right. So what is she having him do this week? How is he spending his
vacation
time?
Well, he's not happy about it. He hasn't been happy about it. We got inside there, and he found Elvis's medicine chest, which apparently they've kept just as Elvis left it.
Oh, no kidding.
With all of Elvis's drugs.
Uh-huh.
So he started gobbling just handfuls of pills for no good reason, just willy-nilly. And then he said, show me the crapper of death. I want to see the crapper of death. And no one really knew what he was talking about until we realized that Elvis died taking a poop.
Oh, that's right on the toilet there, yeah.
So then Kevin Mitchell drops his pants and starts squatting down on the very same toilet where Elvis passed away. And we all got very concerned. So we carried him out of there, and and we hired some young black children here in Memphis, Tennessee, just to keep an eye on Kevin. But they lost him And he went into the jungle room and took a big dump on the floor.
Oh no. God. Now, is Kevin on the sauce or what's going on? Why is he behaving like
he's
this?
He's on everything. He's on the sauce. He's on the smack. He's on the pills. He's on the weed. He's huffing. He's also got that poop stuff he's snorting, whatever that
hash.
Is.
He's got the butt hash?
Butt hash.
Oh, no.
It's madness.
He's just wreaking havoc over there at Graceland. They can't be happy about him as a tourist.
Then he starts digging up the grave in the backyard saying, I want to see the king. I want to see the king.
Oh,
he's digging
terrible.
It like a dog just with his hands. And it was a nightmare.
Oh, no. So are you going to have to bail him out? Did the authorities come? What happened?
Well, first I got to find Mrs. Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show because apparently she has got Priscilla Presley cornered in one of the rooms at Graceland saying how her uncle and Elvis died in the same year and how Memphis should have a syndicated radio show with Kevin as the star. Security had to escort her out of the building, so I got to find her first.
Oh, this
it's
is...
Like, well, it's like two children with these two just trying to keep... I should put those leashes on them you see in malls.
Yes.
I understand, Linus. It sounds like you're very busy trying to keep things in order there. But we appreciate you filling us in on where they are.
Well, thank you for stopping me from doing what I need to do with this phone call the other one.
I apologize. Sorry about that, Linus.
I have to go now. Goodbye, people who aren't Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, the greatest salesman in the history of television, the great Billy Mays from your favorite infomercials is going to be joining us on the show. Ralph, I know you're excited about that. Plus, comedian Dennis Leary, all that tomorrow morning on the K&B Morning Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday.
That's a good show.
It is. That is good. Listen to that.
Sure, that's ours? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's all lined up for Kevin and Bean, yeah.
Sure it's not McCabe or Kurt Von Trapp or whoever else.
Kurt Von Trapp, yes.
This is a great story. Apparently, Maria Jimenez, who until recently was the housekeeper for Kobe Bryant and his wife Vanessa.
Mm. Oh, boy.
She knows stuff.
Is suing the couple, claiming they were incredibly abusive to her.
Really?
Yes. Apparently... Maria says that Vanessa was badgering, harassing, and humiliating her, screaming at her, criticizing her in front of Kobe, the Bryants' children, employees, and other people in the household.
Wow.
Any word on whether she's hot?
Maria Jimenez?
Yeah.
No word yet.
I only ask because I can see, especially with the troubles they've had in their marriage, that Vanessa would be unusually cruel to anyone around Kobe who was also good-looking.
She probably wouldn't even hire someone who was
That's probably true. Maria is suing for wrongful discharge, which, by the way, I think it's what Kobe was arrested for in Colorado, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Invasion of privacy, emotional distress, and unpaid wages. Here's the best story. Maria claims that Vanessa called her lazy, slow, dumb, an effing liar, and effing S in front of everyone. Vanessa accused her of stealing her retainer, the one that goes in her mouth.
Sure, you wouldn't want that. Yeah.
And was so furious at Maria because Maria put an expensive blouse in the washer that, to teach her a lesson, Vanessa took the price tag of the blouse, stuffed it in a bag of dog feces that had been used to pick up the dog crap from the Bryant compound, and made Maria put her hand into the bag of dog feces to retrieve the price tag.
It is on. It is so on.
That does not sound like a happy work environment.
Maria said she wanted to quit that day, but Vanessa insisted that she had to work until payday to pay for the blouse, which she did.
Wow.
So that's a crappy job, literally.
Yeah.
You guys sticking your hand in dog crap.
I think, Mike, you know more about her than I do, but Vanessa has always seemed a little high maintenance to me.
Totally. I buy all this.
Really?
She's really hot, though.
She's super hot, but she's a chunty that came, she's just this average kind of attractive Mexican broad. Now she's got tons of dough and a sense of entitlement because her husband's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
She's got to be a mess.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Look at you. I bet you think you're something, huh? Because you clean up stuff. Why don't you put your hand in this, eh? Here's a big bag of something for you to put your hand in, stupid.
Yeah. Vanessa always struck me as sort of the lost Kardashian sister. She's got that vibe about her. She's
way hot.
Isaiah Washington, remember him from Grey's Anatomy?
Sure.
Yes, of course.
Called that other guy the F-word. And by F-word, I mean the gay F-word.
Yes.
Right.
Apparently, he doesn't like to pay his rent. He owes his landlord $100,000.
Dude. for rent on his home in Venice, California. He's 5 months behind on the rent. What kind of home is he renting for $20,000 a month, by the way?
A month? A guy like that on a show like Grey's Anatomy, maybe buy a house, it seems like? I don't know.
Why is he renting for $20,000 a month? I would think you'd probably get a mortgage cheaper than $20,000 a month, no matter what you purchased. Yeah, so he is apparently on the cusp of being thrown out of his own home with his wife and his kids, by the way. And he's out of a job, so.
Things are not good for
things
him.
Things are tough all over. And
well,
things,
I understand there'll be a housekeeping opening at the Bryant's.
That's right. Maybe get a job there. Wear rubber gloves. And speaking of being thrown out of things, Denise Richards was thrown off of Dancing with the Stars last night. Inexplicably. What'd you say, Lisa? I'm sorry, what was that? Sorry, can't talk? Kevin, mouthful?
What's your mouthful
paid, of? Kevin paid Lisa $100 or something at the beginning of the season to never talk about Dancing with the Stars, apparently it's just killing her on the inside.
At least you can give the money back, and you can just talk about it all you want.
It was so awesome, too, because like I said, Kevin didn't write a check or like put it in an envelope. He walked right over to her on the show and just made it rain. He just dusted her with a nice 100 note.
Now, I don't watch the show, Ralph, but isn't it true that she did not even have the lowest score, but they just kicked her off because they hate her?
She was tied at the bottom with Holly Madison. Playmate Holly Madison, but inexplicably, Steve Wozniak had a horrible dance routine, as did Steve O, who was injured. He's got a bad back and ankle, but he made it to the next round. So Denise Richards is just hated by everyone.
How much do you have to suck when they kick you off the show, even though you're dancing better than other people?
I know.
You have to really be hated.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Desperate Housewives star Marsha Cross is 47 years old today. Sarah Jessica Parker celebrates her 44th birthday. They should put some new shoes on her and get her a new saddle. That'll perk her up.
File down the teeth.
Exactly. I'll be glad when this birthday is done.
Give her some.
So
give her one of those sugar cubes.
Oh, come on.
I heard she'll take you around Central Park.
Will she?
Yeah.
But just Central Park. You can't leave the park.
It's very romantic. Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies is 30. Sean Faris from Never Back Down turns 27. Aretha Franklin, 67 years old today. Elton John turns 62. And Catherine McPhee. So sweet. She is 25 years old today. She is the diametric opposition of Sarah Jessica Parker. They're
right.
On two ends of the spectrum. You have an angel and an equine. Look it up. It's very funny. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.